Welcome to this special SearchSystemsChannel.com Frequently Asked Questions podcast. My name is Matt Donnelly, Associate Editor with TechTarget's Channel Media Group. My guest today is Martin McLeod. Martin's an independent IT consultant based in London. He has several years' experience developing and supporting Blade servers in volume. He also blogs about topics such as Blade servers and virtualization at his blog, BladeWatch.com. Today, Martin and I will be discussing virtualization on Blade servers. Martin has put together two sets of questions that we're going to review in this podcast. The first set of questions are those that a service provider should ask a potential customer when scoping out a Blade virtualization project. These questions are designed to help you get a clear idea of your client's goals to help make your Blade virtualization project go more smoothly. The second set of questions deal with what you as a service provider need to know before taking on a Blade server virtualization project. They address the key points and best practices that you need to understand about Blades and virtualization. Together, these two sets of questions can be used to build the framework for a customer's Blade server virtualization project. Martin, welcome to this special SearchSystemsChannel.com Frequently Asked Questions podcast.
Hi, great to speak to you.
Let's start with the first set of questions, those that listeners should ask clients thinking about virtualization on Blade servers. What are the range of applications that will be running?
Okay, each application is going to have its own memory requirements, its own storage and I/O requirements. Not all of those will be best suited to virtualization, depending on what the scope of the project is and where you want to go with the technology. So you might find that services might be better suited than some database applications, depending on the throughput, the disk space, and so on. There's a marginal cost to virtualizing a database system, which is going to eat up 50% of your storage on your virtualization project.
What databases underpin these applications?
The different databases might mean that your applications are going to need specific requirements within the virtualization structure. So you might have feeds coming in from different applications. You might find that it's better to virtualize some of the standalone databases on a standalone solution rather than virtualizing them, consolidating them onto one box from an operational administration standpoint.
What operating systems are in scope?
Well, that's going to determine the hardware and the scope of the project. If you're looking at just x86 servers running Linux and Windows, then your project is only going to require x86 infrastructure. But you might at the same time want to say, okay, well, get Solaris containers or Unix virtualization to see if I can get the most of the hardware I'm using.
What are the current platforms?
So the range of processor combinations and platform combinations is going to make a difference to what you can virtualize and what you can't. So there may be a benefit in virtualizing your x86 Windows and Linux servers, taking that SQL database off an Itanium onto a virtual x86 application might give you the best performance and might not be the most efficient way of providing the infrastructure.
What are the upstream or downstream services? What feeds or services do the systems host?
That would be important because if you've got a lot of feeds coming in and out, each of the application systems, then that will have a requirement in terms of the SAN, the storage, and the network capacity they're going to be putting through these systems. How it hangs off in terms of, do you need dial-up modems, do you need ISDN connections, FTP, secure file transfer, how do you deploy those and support those systems within a virtual infrastructure?
What are your location considerations?
The location considerations would be in terms of, are we looking to virtualize one data center, two? Are we looking at business continuity? Does that come into stream? In which case, are we looking at an active virtual solution where I have two virtual farms that can each host the systems? And we all hang that together is important.
What are your consolidation policies?
It's important to see what they think is the industry standard, what they perceive as a mean value, looking at the applications and the infrastructure you're trying to virtualize. So you might find that that ranges from 4 to 10, depending on the number of CPUs, the memory, and the storage available.
What is the criteria for availability?
Availability is important, particularly in terms of disaster recovery and fault tolerance. And this is in terms of, how is the solution going to be put together? Is it going to have some degree of redundancy, some degree of resilience? So are we going to have just enough blades to keep going? Are we going to have just enough capacity for the machines we have? Or do we have a business continuity ESX farm or virtual farm where we can fail over to? So that if I need to take a blade or an enclosure down, how does that impact the service I provide to the client?
What needs does the business have for business continuity and disaster recovery?
Yeah, they should be asking how they can provide, say, the virtual solution with some degree of resilience and disaster recovery. So if I have to shut my office down or that part of the network down, does that affect the bigger picture from service delivery? We need to have the network with SAN available to different blades, whether it's in one data center or another, so that we can have tools like vMotion to enable us to continue in the event of a disaster.
Are there any application interdependencies?
That's important when you're scoping out the requirements for the solution in terms of which applications are going on to the blade solution, the virtual solution, how they all work together, and in the event of an outage or restoring service or even scheduled downtime, what needs to be brought up in which levels and which order to provide everything running in an operating mode for the end user. So if an application has got dependencies on market feeds or this system being available, how do we manage all in terms of bringing it back online?
What are the current environmentals, things like electrical capacity of the racks?
With blade solution, what you're doing is you're compressing and condensing the number of servers and you have in one rack down to a smaller amount, but you still got the same power requirements, still the same cooling requirements. So you need to work out what the current power of your rack is. So how much your rack can power the enclosures, because that will determine how many blades you can have in a rack. The typical standard is that you may have 48 HP blades or up to 70 IBM blades in one rack. But then those determine that is also linked to your cooling, the ability to cool the blades and keep everything running at its optimal temperature. Because the number of blades you can host in your data center is going to affect how many virtual machines you can have, how big the infrastructure can grow.
Do you have AC or DC power support?
One of the topics for discussion has been DC power in the data center. Are we going to look at DC power in the future? Do we need to consider that currently the box is shipped operating for AC power? What bits and bobs do we need? And what does the customer need to think about switching over to DC in order to get the reported benefits of DC power in the data center? Power continues to be the main cost. Power and cooling are your main cost of running your data center now, more so than hardware.
Has there been any discussion or interest in the carbon tax liability of the systems, the carbon footprint of the IT?
Okay, well, the more power we use in the data center, the more carbon we are supposed to be generating. Now, that has an effect in two levels. The first is that if we're generating more power in the data center, then we're going to have more cost. The second is that a lot of companies are now reporting the carbon footprint in terms of, we use this much power, we're doing this to help reduce the power and our impact on the environment for corporate and social responsibility. So how does that tie in with you buying 400 blades or 300 servers for your virtualization project? What the big picture is from your corporate social responsibility and from an operational level.
Let's move on to the second set of questions. These are questions that you, as a service provider, need to know about virtualization on blade servers. What are the physical space savings clients can expect when virtualizing blade servers?
Looking at making savings on a blade infrastructure based on the number of sessions you can create per blade. Now that can vary from 10 to 4, but the biggest wins you're going to be getting on a blade solution for virtualization is the number of legacy systems and current systems that you can virtualize in a pure dense format to one enclosure of blades. So if you've got, say, 700 DL380s, you might be able to virtualize that and consolidate that onto 70 or 140 blades, for example, and on how everything's set up. Well, that's a significant saving in cabinet space and power, but you need to work out the maths involved in that carefully.
What are the consolidation ratios for virtual blade servers?
It's all been dependent on the number of cores you have in your processor, what the application's doing, the availability and things like that. But it's typically 4 virtual machines per core, which means you can get up to 10 or more virtual machines on a blade.
And what energy savings can clients realize from blade server virtualization?
There's been a lot of talk about this, and one of the main ones that people talk about is the integrated network switches. So you can have one blade solution with integrated switches, which is energy efficient, so you don't have all the patches coming off the back of the blade servers. You can also use technology like SANBIT. So everything is putting onto the SAN infrastructure, which not only does it save power from having little internal disks in the blade, does mean that your blade becomes effectively a processing a headless unit, so that if there's an outage, you just repoint.
What are the electrical load and cooling needs for blade servers?
The energy considerations and the cooling considerations for blade servers are that you're going to have more condensed servers in a condensed area, which means that you need to be more careful ensuring that you've got adequate energy for each cabinet to host these blades. and more importantly, adequate cooling, so that the air is going straight through the blade and there's no pockets of air building up behind the blade or around the cabinet, which could cause you issues in terms of reliability. And you get the benefits of being a bit more flexible and portable with the infrastructure. So if Blade 7 fails, the SAN, the ES6 server, and all the virtual machines on that unit are simply presented to number 8.
And what kind of storage is supported by virtual Blade servers?
It's going to depend by vendor. There's a lot of new exciting technologies coming out, whether it's the unified kind of network and SAN solution, or straightforward things like InfiniBand and fiber. But it's going to depend on what blade you're buying, what you've got in your business, and how you fit that in with this new solution.
If a service provider virtualizes several client networks through one card, what does that mean for low latency applications?
It means you're going to have to be a lot more careful with where your applications are running, how you split up the network between the virtual machine, and just ensure that you get the same level of performance from a network standpoint, or more to the point, service standpoint, through the networks, network ports, because a lot of the times you're teaming the network card, which means that you might want several network ports on a blade, which is where you look at different vendors that offer the different network port daughter cards and things like that. For the low latency applications, you just need to make sure that you optimize the ESX configuration and see what priorities can be set at the ESX level and at the network level to maintain service.
Can a service provider use fresh air cooling, DC, and electrical power for blade server virtualization?
Yes, they can. DC power has been used by quite a few large companies as a way of reducing the energy requirements for their data center. And fresh air cooling is just another way of providing cooling for the data center. So both are equally good and an excellent way of reducing the carbon footprint, the amount of power you use in your data center. What's going to depend on is your location, your experience with DC power, and what constraints you've got within service level agreements and the way you do business with your clients.
How do you connect your client's storage solution to a virtual blade server?
Okay, to a virtual blade server, you could use the fiber connectivity cards or the InfiniBand cards, or even the new network SAN storage solutions, which allow you to connect the SAN directly into the blade, whether it's a SAN boot or additional storage to present for the virtual machines on that blade.
And how do you migrate virtual blade servers between the enclosures?
Okay, you can migrate the virtual machines between blade servers, between enclosures, using tools like vMotion. What it's going to depend on is that the SAN is presented and the network are presented to the different blade servers, so you've got a transparent service viewpoint to the end user. But I should be able to transfer a virtual machine from blade server 1 in enclosure A to blade server 2 in enclosure C. But what I need to do is make sure that the logical components, the network, the SAN, and everything are in place to do so.
Martin, thank you for joining me on the SearchSystemsChannel.com Frequently Asked Questions podcast.
Thanks so much. It was great speaking to you. Take care.
For more information or for a text of this podcast, visit SearchSystemsChannel.com/blades. My name is Matt Donnelly, Associate Editor with TechTarget's Channel Media Group. Thanking you for downloading this podcast. Join me again next time for more Frequently Asked Questions.